is just like where he lived and has grown up, and you know, it's a whole different world. And then you've been a minister of the gospel, and you've been able to see all these wonderful things happening in people's lives and preaching the gospel, and suddenly you come to America where it's just not even close. And then you can't really be fluent in the language quite yet. And, you know, God's got some precious things in his heart. Be praying for him because, you know, he's a man of God. Amen? And so we want to hear what you have to say. Come on up, Bobber. Give him another hand.
Glory to God for this wonderful evening. Thank you so much, Brother Harley, for this great opportunity. And so many people actually, they challenge me from Pakistan. Some were pastors, and some of them, they were believers. And they said that you are going in America, and you are not going to come back the same person we are sending you there. But I am more than 100% thankful to Jehovah God. I feel him in my past in Pakistan. He been so faithful in Pakistan, and the same Jehovah God who was faithful in Pakistan with me, he is same faithful with me in this land in America also. Hallelujah. That's why Bible says, God, yesterday, today, and forever, he is same God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's preach together to the devil. Amen. Darkness is going to flee tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Give him a big hand. Big hand. Hallelujah. I was praying in this week for this event because here is so many precious people of God, so many senior people than me. I'm nothing. Brother Harley, Sister Jane, and all of you, you have really good understanding of scriptures. I am nothing in front of you all. But the God, writer of this Bible, Holy Spirit, amen. Bible says, Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, I call him brother. He said that we are the temple of Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Amen. And Holy Spirit is the author of this Bible. Amen. I hope that he has something for you tonight. Amen. He will speak to us, including me also. I need word of God also. Every day, every night, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Amen. This is our spiritual food. Hallelujah. If we are not eating this, we can be dead. We are on dangerous spot. But the cool, amazing thing is this. If we are reading this Bible, which is a sword of spirit, amen. If we are reading these scriptures, we can be really dangerous people for the evil. Amen. Yeah. We can be a danger zone for evil. He will be scared from you. You are going to be fired up with scriptures. When you will walk on Lucifer and his all armies, they are going to say, oh, someone is coming different, who is filled, fired up with the scriptures. Amen to that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same God who keep me alive in Pakistan, he is same here with me also. This is his attitude. He is so faithful. He's never is gonna leave us alone. This is his promise. Amen. And he know that without him, I am just a piece of garbage. I'm nothing. I cannot do anything else. So that's why he cares about me and so he do all of you also. Amen. Glory to God for that. And thank you, brother, again. Can we please pray for before my sermon? I want to just pray with you all. Please lift up your hands. People of God, please lift up your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Jehovah God. Heavenly Father, we all are so thankful for your presence in this sanctuary, Lord. You are here with your fully control here, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We can feel your move here. We can feel here your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. Rabba shantola karaboroso. Shapra kasantele kereboro shantele bereso. Repro kashantele bere. In this sanctuary. Oh, fired us up with your scriptures, Lord. Fired us up, Lord. We want to be a danger zone for our enemy devil, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father. Holy Spirit, I want to just confess I am nothing. I need also encouragement from you, Lord. So we all need your encouragement tonight. Oh, we know that you are sitting on the throne with fully authority, Lord. And thousands of angels, thousands of saints, they are worshiping you in heaven. Thank you so much, Father. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, we give this all time in your mighty hands. In powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Last weeks, they've been really hard for me also. So God, he brought one psalm to my heart. And that psalm is really helping me so much in these days. Amen. And it's not in my hand. I'm trying to read something else and other books from the Bible. But I cannot do that. I'm stuck with that psalm so much. And I was praying about this church. I said, Brother Harley, he asked me to speak here. So Lord, what I should speak? So God talked to me and he said that same thing, what is protecting you in these days, give that to church also. Amen. So let's open up Psalm 27. Sister Rose, thank you so much for coming. It was a really short call. Sister Paula, she just saw me and then she called her that Babar is going to speak. And thank you so much for it was a short call. Psalm 27. Oh, hallelujah. Sometime when I read Bible, I feel that Bible is actually reading me. When I read Bible, I feel that Bible knows me more than me. Bible knows my future more than me. So many times we want to lean on our wisdom, which is foolish thing. Nothing is, our wisdom is nothing, garbage just. I'm so sorry. This is true. Let's stick with the wisdom of the Lord, which is Bible. Bible will speak to us. If your ways are blocked up and you don't know where you should go, open up your Bible. Throw yourself on knees. God, who is sitting on the throne with fully authority, he is so faithful. He will take care of you. In the next moment, you will feel that help is coming down. You will feel something breaking up in front of you. Something will be shaken in front of you. You will feel that in few minutes. We need to practice that. Psalm 27, it says, verse first, the Lord is my light and my salvation. whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. New King James, I'm reading New King James. Verse 2 says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Amen. Who fell? David's enemies. He doesn't fall down. Amen. He is standing firm on the rock. What Brother Harley just was saying, that we need to stand on the rock. He is firmly standing. Enemy came to put him down, but something is happening opposite. They got stumbled and they fell down. Because David, he is surrounded by something amazing. Amen. What worldly people don't have. He is surrounded by amazing power of living God. Amen. Verse 3 says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Amen. I was just thinking that David has this revelation that he belongs to the Lord of heavenly armies. Amen. Just try to read this carefully. He said that, though an army may encamp against me, maybe army of this world can encamp against me, but he knows that this army which is belongs to this world, this is nothing front of Jehovah God, who is a God and creator of heavenly armies. Amen. That's why his heart is so bold. He's so bold in the Lord. So many times we need to do have like this attitude like David. We are so easy to give up. We need to have attitude like David. Amen. We need to tell this enemy of this word. We were praying in this I do work in Teen Challenge. And Thursday night and Friday night, two nights and three evenings I work over there. So I talk to my boss and chaplain, and they allow me to open chapel for 1 hour in the morning. And that means a lot for me. So many brothers, clients, they join me in the morning. So we pray together, and a couple days ago when we were praying, one guy, he was so much depressed. He was so much scared inside of him. And I didn't know that. I was praying on my knees. I was just kneeling down and I was praying. And God speak to me. He spoke to my heart and he said that, go to that guy. And I stood up and I walked to him. And I said, no, what God you want me to say? So God, immediately he put words in my heart. He said, tell him that who lives inside of you, he is a bigger than who lives in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give chance to this worldly things and darkness and your enemy. Tell them that I belongs to whom he is bigger than anything else. Hallelujah. We need to have this attitude. 1 John 4:4. Who lives inside of us, he is bigger than who lives in this world. Amen. You know, devil, he is big liar. Even Bible says that he's a father of liars. He just wants to scare you. And sometimes we are so easy to give up. Including me. I'm not telling you all. We all are like that way. But we need to stood up in faith like David does that. And we need to tell all the forces and evil of this world that we belong to someone who is bigger and above than all authorities. Hallelujah. And Bible says that in Philippians chapter 2 that God gave him that name which is above than any other. Not just 10 names. Above than 10 names. No. No 100. No 1,000. No. No. Above than any other name. Hallelujah. Full stop. Jesus is greater than any other name. Just spoke up words over your troubles, over your tough times, over your bad situations. Something will be start happening in front of you. And your eyes will be witness in few days. You will see the miracle. I said this so many times. I doesn't worship that God who did miracles in past. I didn't worship that God who just miracle in past. No. He was God in past also, and he does miracle in past also, but he is not stuck in past. I worship that God who came out from the past and he is living today also. Hallelujah. He is living today and tomorrow. And nothing is new for our God. No any weather, no any century, no any year, no any disease, no any problem. Don't listen lies of enemy that this trouble, sometimes I heard people that they said, my trouble is really great trouble. Wow. He said, my trouble is different than this time I got really bad, tough time. No, stop saying that. Tell your troubles that I belongs to Jesus who is above than any other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to do that. You will see great change. So David, I love these words. He said that even army of my enemies, they will encamp against me, but he does have living miracle, living revelation inside of him. He know that I belong to Jehovah God, who is a creator of heavenly armies. Amen. Verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. All the days of my... Thank you for responding. I love that. Sometimes people think I'm crazy, but I cannot preach when church don't respond me. I cannot preach. That's what churches in Pakistan do. They shout more than preacher. So when my wife and her mother, they went to see me and my church and my ministry over there and my family. So they said, oh my gosh, you guys are crazy. So loud, so loud, so loud. I said, whatever. We are not going to stop that. So I love when I heard respond back from church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We don't need to put devil here. We need to put devil under the shoes. That's what his place is. So in verse 4, very great words he said that. He said, oh, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I was studying about this. And he has one request. It says in other translations, he has one request from the Lord, to the Lord. And that request is this, that I want to live in your presence. I was doing imagination about this. I was just thinking about these scriptures, that how he would be doing that. So he just went on his knees, and what he's praying, please look at me, please, please, please. He's throwing himself on knees, and he's talking to God. And what he's saying, God, I need BMW car. That's what he's saying. Does he pray that, God, I need really big house near to the Lake Superior? No. He didn't pray that, God, I want really expensive clothes and expensive branded things. No. Oh, what a great prayer he does. I love his prayer. In heaven, I want to just hug him when I will go there. I want to hug David in heaven. What a heart he has. Amen. Our prayers are so limited, and sometimes, oh my gosh, our prayers are, that doesn't make sense. I'm so sorry. Prayer, ask him for himself. In your prayers, tell him, God, I want you. Very amazing thing he said. He said that all the days of my life, he have one request. He wants to live in the presence of the Lord just one day on Sunday. That's it? No. All the days of my, yes. So many times, if we just pray 1 hour or 30 minutes, we feel, yeah, I did something. And then we forget of 1 month. That's not good attitude. I'm so sorry about that. He is saying that, I want to live in your presence all of my life. We need this attitude, church. If we don't have the presence of the Lord every single day on our head, enemy can swallow us. He will eat us. We don't have power to fight with enemy. We are nothing. Who we are? He will completely destroy us, our families, our lives, everything. Thing he will destroy if we don't have the presence of the Lord. That's why David is so wise. He said, I need your presence all the days of my life. Not just one day on Sunday. No. All the days of my life. Hallelujah. We need to change our prayers. In our prayer directions should be like that way. I'm not saying that follow me. No, including me, we need to follow David. We need to follow David, but he's saying that. We need to pray according to scriptures. Amen. I remember, do you guys know Youth with a Mission? YWAM? Yeah. They work in Pakistan also. So director of Youth with a Mission in Pakistan, me and he, we both went in Bible college for 3 years. And he's very loving guy. So he called me in his camp in northern areas to speak about vision. So I went there for 2 days. So it was a camp over there about missionaries, and I speak there about vision. That what is vision? So there was one guy, he take me for outing after a meeting, when we done with meeting. He took me to the walk down to there. And whenever he saw car, he said, in Jesus' name, I receive this car. Then he saw next car. Then again he said, in Jesus' name, I receive this car. Then he saw bigger car than that car. Then he saw, then he said the third car that, oh, I receive this car in the name of Jesus Christ. I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? What's going on with you? What's happened? He said that we should claim things in Jesus' name. We should have rich things and this and that. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, my brother, I never own car in my life. I never own car in my life, all life. But I feel so rich. You know why? Because we do have Jesus Christ inside of us. We have salvation which is free. He crucified himself for us. He put heavy thorn crown on his head for us. He got nailed up on the cross. That nails, they were for me, for us. That heavy cross was for us. That crown of thorn was for us. Oh, they completely make him bleed. They spit on his face. They beat him very badly. Oh, I said, please, my brother, look at the picture of the crucifixion. Don't claim cars and these things. Have desire for the Lord. Have him. Ask him for his presence. These cars are not going to save us. These things are just here. We are not going to go to heaven with car. No. Everything is worthless. Jesus is coming back soon. Amen. So we need his presence every single day. Verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Amen. This is a verse 5. Brother Harley, how much time I do have? Or it's done? Huh? Okay. Thank you. That makes me feel good. So, that's really, really, really interesting scripture. Through Hebrew, I was checking this scripture. It says, he shall treasure me up. Amen? When he said that, he shall hide me. What a heart David has. There is no any disappointment in David. Check his attitude for the Lord. He said, my God, he will hide me as a treasure. Believers, if you are thinking that you are nothing, and devil is telling you that you are not good looking person, and you are this and that, and no, take that all lies and throw them in the hell. You are a treasure for the Lord. He wants to hide you. Amen. Yes, you can clap. You can clap. Yes, for the Lord. He said he will hide me. He will treasure me up. He will hide me as a treasure. And I love that. In the letter says that he kept treasure in the vessels of clay inside of us. He has treasure inside of us. And he will save us like treasure. Amen. There is no any disappointment in his attitude. He is so strong in the faith. Then verse 6 says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that, what sister said, that when kids, they shout and they swear, and inside of her, there is worship going on. That's amazing. Our function is different, believers, followers of Jesus Christ. We do have different function. We do have Holy Spirit inside of us. If something is going on really terrible around you, just start speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I will sing praises to the Lord. Verse 7 says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen. Amen. He heard from somewhere, maybe God spoke to him or something. He heard that Lord says to me that, seek my face. He said, I will seek your face all my life. Amen. Amen. I will be really hungry and thirsty for your face. That's what attitude we should carry. 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breath out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Amazing. Verse 14, I want to just cover it up fastly because I want to give a little bit my testimony also. It says, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wait upon the Lord. Don't be hurry. Don't took decisions what they can draw you to the death. Wait upon the Lord. Hold on prayer altar. If you still didn't hear God, make a one day separate for fasting. Do fasting, seek the face of the Lord, and tell him, God, I want to hear you. Amen. So, I just want to tell you, in the beginning we just read that God, he is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I was in Bible college, in 2015 to 2017, for 3 years. And our professor, our principal, he gave us a task. He said that, ask God what purpose you do have from the Lord in your life. And that was really challenging for me. I don't know that what purpose God has in my life at that time. So I went in. I decide that I'm not gonna eat for a few days. I will make prayer and fasting before God and I will seek his face. So I went for 3 days and three nights. And third night, I am eyewitness. I have encounter with Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not like I saw vision or something. No. My light of my room was, I turned off. That was dark room at that time. But I saw very deep and thick and heavy light fell down in my room. I was so scared. I was hiding under the table. But suddenly that light starts speak to me. And I heard very sweet voice. Never I heard that before. He said that, I am your Lord. I am your God. My name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he said to me that, I am happy that you are asking me purpose of your life. You know what? Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse, I think so, 19 says, where there is no vision, where there is no purpose, people will be perish. That's very scary. If we don't have purpose from the Lord on this earth, we cannot have destiny also. So Lord talked to me and he said that, I am glad that you are asking me purpose for your life. And he said that, I am a God of purpose. He is not purposeless God. And he told me, long story short is this, he told me to, I want your attention, please, brother. So he told that, go to the desert, which is fourth province in Pakistan. And there is a huge desert, massive desert. He told me to go there. I went there first time. I said, what I should do here? I don't know how to minister here. Or I saw so many high ratio of suicides over there. You know why? People don't have food over there. They don't have over there water. They don't have shoes even. And so many snakes, they are walking, like scrolling over there on sand. You can see them like normally, so many snakes. People are dying over there. So Christ said that, go there and minister them. I was really shocked about that. So I went in one village. I tried to speak with them. And they were making fun of me. They were laughing at me and they were not serious and they were not taking serious the word of God. I was so shocked that what I should do, God, why you sent me if they don't want to listen to me even. So suddenly right away in that village, one lady, in her there was start manifesting of demons. And Hindu people, they do have more than 36,000 gods. Brother Harley, you know that, Hindu people. You minister them over there in India. So they worship creation instead of creator. So one of their spirit that manifests in her, and that start making fear over there, and she starts shouting, and she open up her hair and she was doing really weird stuff. And she said that, my name is Haruman. Haruman is one of their god, Hindu's god. And I was shocked. I said, okay. So I start praying over her. And you know what happened? She looked at me and she said that, you are destroying my people. You are here to get their attention from me. And I'm going to kill you today. I said, really? I said, you are a liar. You are lying. That's not true. But those people, they were getting offended with me. They said, why you are speaking with our God like that? They start kissing her feet and bowing down front of her. That was going on over there. I said, oh my gosh, what is happening over here? So within few minutes, I start praying. That same evil, same devil who was saying to me that, I'm going to kill you today. He started telling me, he started begging me that, let me go, I'm getting burned. And you know what he said? That spirit says to me that, you are surrounded by a light. You are surrounded by a fire. Amen. So do you all believers. You are washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Take yourself serious. Devil is scared by you. Don't take yourself very light. No. You are surrounded by fire. And you know what I answered that foolish devil? I told him, don't tell me that I am surrounded by fire and light. I said, I know that. I'm not lost. I know that. Who am I in the Lord? I know my identity in Jesus Christ. But tell your people whom you're making blind. Tell them. And she starts shouting and she said that, let me go, I'm burning, and why you are not letting? I said, look at your God. He even don't have authority to go now without the permission of the Lord. Can you see that? And glory to God. That was the day when God gave me vision, and then God sent me there, and demon start manifest over there. And in few minutes, then I cast that demon out from that lady. And that demon was telling them that he is surrounded by the fire and he is surrounded by the divine light of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why David is saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Believers, you are surrounded by light. And before those people who are not listening to me, they brought all the statues, idols, you know, statues. Am I speaking right word? Statues, they bring out and they all pile them up and they broke them with their feet and they throw over their fire and they burn them out, all of them. So there was a big harvest over there. So I called my pastor back. I said, I need your help. He said, why? Did they put you in jail or something? Because in Pakistan, when you will preach gospel, definitely they will put you in jail. It's underground. I said, no. Lord did a great work. I need your help to baptize this whole village. Hallelujah. So now that village called the Hope Village. Amen. There is a divine living hope, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's close your eyes. And please pray for our vision also. In few years, we are going back to Pakistan. We do have ministry over there. And we are going to leave there and make our home over there and build school for those people. I just have so many pictures in my phone. People are hanging themselves up over there. Young girls, they are so sad because they don't have facilities. They don't have medicines. They don't have water over there, water access. It's a huge, massive desert. It's called Tharparkar. In few years, we are going back over there, and we are going to do ministry over there until Christ come back. Amen. Let's pray, please. And keep in your prayers our ministry also, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to pray. I want to just share a couple quick things with you. I think that we need to be able to get a vision and help. You know, the gospel isn't just America. America needs a lot of help, but at the same time, you know, Bobber, he's got a vision and he's been called to God to reach a people. And, you know, as we were in a lot of these places, and I want to share a story with you too, but, you know, the Bible says he'll bring provisions from the east and the west and the north and the south, and God would bring people and provisions, and you know, we got to see nations absolutely change. And, you know, as he's, you know, Bobber, he's been trying to get old Pastor Harley to get over to Pakistan. And, you know, I'd love to go. I've been, You know, we've busted open a lot of countries now. And, you know, when he talks about just dirt poverty, you know, we need to take up a little collection today. Why don't you get something? But to be praying for them and get behind, because God's calling us to do things. They're in an extreme poverty situation. Like you said, there's no water. There's no electricity. There's no real stable food. There's no, I mean, you know, it just, I was at the airport and, you know, on my last trip there, and this Muslim dude comes up, sits next to me, and just starts talking, you know. And he looked like one of the, you know, one of the Taliban, you know. And he's just going off, and, you know, and so I'm telling him, you know, and talking to him and being nice. And next thing you know, he's getting on his phone, and he's contacting his brothers and all these people. And they're on the phone now, and they're sitting up there, and it's winter. And they're in this little house, and they all got their coats on, and they got no heat, and there's snow outside, and they got this little pile of coal in this little thing that they keep handing to one another, and they put it under the blanket and get warm. We don't have a clue what it, you know, I mean, what it's really like, you know. And they're just trying to be nice, and I think, you know, I mean, he'd love to have me go there, and, you know, if I was young again, I'd love to go there. I think we could make a difference, but I think God is trying to cause some people to raise up. Bobber, how old are you? 29? 29. We went to India in 1982. We were 32. That's after starting works in the ghettos in New York and all these other things and going all around, like I said, the last 50-some years. But they need people to not only go and get encouraged and stick with them and support on a regular basis and go visit and go encourage. But, you know, as he was up there, it reminded me of something. Back in 1983, my wife and I, we had done a meeting in India in 82, and it was just wild and amazing. And so God's bringing us back. And you know, it's just, like I said, dirt poor, and there's this pastor. He's pastoring a church. Actually, he's pastoring a Lutheran church, and he wants us to preach in his church this Sunday. You know, we've been doing these different things, and so my wife and I, we come to his house. First thing you do, Bobber, he knows that first you take the people of God and you give them some tea or a little coffee before the service. So we had to go to his house and get this coffee, but as we're sitting in his house, they start bringing people in, into the house, crippled people that can't walk. Now we got three of these sitting out there. They're crippled. The families are with them. They heard that there is a man of God. That's what they heard. And he's visiting. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, the Bible talks about, is there anything too difficult for God? Well, there is for Harley. There might be for Bobber. But there's nothing too difficult for God. And God has called each and every one of us to set captives free. Everybody. To believe God. So we're sitting in this house, and first thing we do is we pray for the first guy. And up he goes from years of being crippled to walking out the door. The other one's sitting there. He's a little more serious. Prayed for him. Up he goes with the family and out the door. And here sits this other young man. He's been a palsy for 27 years. Sitting in the chair like that. I mean, that's sad. It's hard. And the family is bringing him. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my heart didn't want to leave him there. My mind says, wow. And, you know, we started praying for him. And I said, get up out of that chair, because they had to bring him in and set him in the chair. He can't even sit in the chair. And, you know, I told him, get up in the name of Jesus. So he starts to get up. He tries to get up, and he fell right on his face. Picked him up, put him in the chair, and I said, do you believe God? He said, I believe God. I said, then get up out of that chair in the name of Jesus. So he gets up and he's standing there and he's shaking, and next thing he does is he falls down on his face on the floor. And I'm thinking, God, don't leave this man like this. I know you can. And you know the guy, we pray again, we say, in the name of Jesus, get out of that chair. He gets out of the chair, and now he's standing there. And he's not shaking. He's just standing there. And all of a sudden, his hand starts going like this. His other hand starting, and then his knees starting, and his head starts shaking, and he falls down on his face on the floor again. And get him up in the chair, and we set him in the chair and start to talk to him again, and he goes, I've been a palsy for 27 years, he's going. And I just looked at him. I said, if you could put half the faith you got in palsy into Jesus Christ, you'd walk out of here. I said, in the name of Jesus. I said, have you ever stood like that? And he said, no. He never had actually stood on his feet without just falling on his face. I mean, he always had to be carried everywhere. And, you know, it was amazing because we just said, in the name of Jesus, get out of that chair. And he stood up. Long story short, he walked out of that house. They took him home. That's when the trouble started. We barely got out of that house because suddenly, I mean, my wife and I, she probably never been so scared in her life. They're ripping off our clothes. Took 35 people to get us in the car to get us away. But you got a clue. I mean, this is just a minute thing of what God can do, what he wants to do. And you know, the nice thing about when I look at Bob up here, it just reminds me of all these people, Seth and Kirsten. They've been there all these places. They understand Corey, you know. They're simple people without all these crazy needs, just looking for something called life. And we got it. So let's be praying for them. I'm going to put these up here. Let's put something in there, and let's think about trying to help him out in the ministry that he's going forth into. And I'm sure that there are some people here that could go and they could be an encouragement. Praise God. I'll send Corey. No. Love to see some people go. You have what it takes. Believe it or not, you do. You have what it takes. I've seen so many people that never even led a Bible study come to these places, and suddenly they get a glimpse of faith, and we give them their own prayer line. And I'll tell you what, when you got 10,000 people and they got 1,000 people they're praying for, and God's doing miracles, and suddenly they start dealing with a couple of demons, suddenly they realize it's true. All that God says, that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we have the right and authority in his name. And that's what God called. I tell you what, it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging to, you know, like David, that's what he's seen God come alive. Amen? Father, we thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you for Bobber. We thank you, God, that, Lord, he's gone through Bible school. He's gone through these things. Now he's here, and yet, God, you say that you have a perfect plan. And Lord, you said that you open doors that no man can shut, and you shut doors that no man can open. Lord, begin to open up some doors and relationships, God, that would get him to the place where he can lead the people that you put upon his heart, God, without all the difficulties and struggles. And Lord, that people would be with him on his side, and that more than anything, God, your presence and your power and your grace is going to go before. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to write a check as Bobber, B-A-B.